You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a ton of stuff to break down. If you like football, this is the place to be. If you like college football, then this is especially the place to be this afternoon. Mark Lawrence will join me. We're going to break down the Sun Belt. That's right. We've run through every conference in college football. We're at the last one, the Sun Belt. We somehow missed the independents. A couple of schools fell through the cracks. So we'll hit those next week. We break down the Sun Belt, and we'll talk about that Cal-Hawaii game as the college football season kicks off this Friday night from Australia. There's a lot of hype around the Tennessee Volunteers this year, and justifiably so. 18 starters back. They lost four games by a combined 17 points last year. I get it, but are people overreacting? We're going to send it to Knoxville. Nate Hodges, Fox Sports Radio, will join us from Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll talk some Tennessee Volunteer and some SEC football, baseball, getting serious right now. Matt Modica is going to join us. He's a serious baseball analyst, CTN Baseball. He specializes in pitching numbers. Another one of these Wall Street dudes. Everyone's a Wall Street dude. You either got to be a Wall Street dude or Italian or wear a plaid shirt to work at the Fantasy Sports Network. Matt Modica is going to join us. He's going to break it down. We're going to talk about tonight's baseball board. Tell you what, the Kansas City Royals are on freaking fire, man. It's a great time of the year to be a sports fan, isn't it? College football ready to kick off. NFL preseason winding down. Fantasy football drafts. Major League Baseball pennant chases. NHL season's around the corner, man. And the NHL offseason's like 6 weeks. NHL, they're dropping a puck soon. That World Sham of Hockey thing. I don't care about it, but I'll be betting it. They're ready to drop the puck. For me, you know, people always argue. Remember when people always talk about that first Saturday in May? You always got a prize fight, the Kentucky Derby and NBA playoffs and stuff like that. But to me, the best time of the sports year is late September, man. It's going to be a great run. You know, we sort of just kill time through the summer. We all love baseball, but let's be honest. It's all about football, college football, pro football, betting on football, fantasy football, DFS football. It's all about football. I would be remiss of me on a lighter note right now, because we're going to get real serious once the games start. Every show is just going to be, you know, picks. But it'd be remiss of me not to mention what's going on in Brock Lesnar's world right now. It's the summer of rage for Brock Lesnar. Now, Brock Lesnar nearly killed me once. You know, true story. I was standing like, you know, about a foot and a half away from a Brock Lesnar who was seconds away from stepping into the UFC octagon. And I actually told him, this isn't fake WWE wrestling. This is the real stuff, bitch. And he growled at me. And I actually thought he was going to kill me. I actually, and so much so after the fight in which he killed my friend, Heath Herring, after that, his brother nearly killed me, and then his father nearly killed me. So I've got a history with Brock Lesnar, all right? I've actually pissed Brock Lesnar off. The dude's bigger in real life than you realize, too, eh? You know, long story short, my buddy Heath Herring was in the UFC. He was fighting Brock Lesnar in Minneapolis. Happened to be my birthday the same damn day. It was pretty crazy. I was on the shorts of Heath Herring. We sponsored him. I was actually in the dressing room. Why was I in the dressing room? I shouldn't have been, but I was. They wanted me there for motivation. So my job was to be a big mouth. Tonight's your night. You got this. All that type of stuff. But then a couple of minutes before the fight, they told me, hey, get under Brock's skin a bit. Because, like, you know, Brock Lesnar's hitting a bag like 10 feet away from us. I'm like, what do you mean get under Brock's skin? I'm like, what do you want me to say to Brock Lesnar? They're like, rile him up a bit. So I start, hey, this isn't, you know, this is real. This ain't fake. All that other stuff. So basically when he rode Heath Herring like a cowboy, it was basically my fault. Like, I hate to admit it, like, when, and it's crazy. All these years later, Brock Lesnar does an interview with Stone Cold on a podcast a couple of months ago, and he brings up, he's like, a lot of things were said that night, Steve. Yeah, I know. I know. It's going to be in my book. But I made up with the Lesnar family. I'm buddies with his brother now. It's all good. You know, I bet like thousands of dollars on him against Shane Carwin. I won. I was jumping up and down in Vegas, and I get picked up by Brock Lesnar's brother. He's like, hey, what's going on, you little effer? And he goes, I like you. He goes, not a lot of people have the cojones to mouth off to the Lesnars. And he starts laughing. And he's like, I see you're on the right side. I'm like, I just won $4,800 on your brother, bro. He's like, you're all right. So that's all it takes. Now I'm all right with the Lesnars, but nobody else is. So the summer of rage. So Brock Lesnar comes back from the WWE, comes to the UFC, pretty humble when he comes back. He doesn't talk smack. He's kind of polite and stuff. Comes back, beats Mark Hunt. Doesn't kill Mark Hunt, but beats Mark Hunt. Subsequently tests positive for a bad substance, maybe two. Very unapologetic about it. Somehow doesn't get suspended by the WWE. I sat next to a WWE wrestler recently. He was worried he was going to fail the wellness test because he was sitting next to me. All right. I smelt like weed. He was scared he was going to fail the test. He's like, bro, they're serious about this. Not if you're Brock Lesnar. They're not. So Brock Lesnar pisses everybody off backstage in the WWE, pisses everybody off in the UFC because he comes back, makes a couple of million dollars, tests positive for steroids and laughs and leaves. He just doesn't care. That's what is actually pretty cool about this, dude. He just doesn't care. Conor McGregor calls him a cheater and basically says he's a loser wrestler. Brock Lesnar says, I take bigger dumps than Conor McGregor, and if you want some, come get some in a WWE ring. I'll happily carve your face open. And just ask Randy Orton if he's going to carve your face open. So Brock Lesnar raised it up a notch, evidently, the other night at SummerSlam and nearly killed Randy Orton. Now, there's a debate whether he did it on purpose, whether it's a work, whether it was a shoot, and all that other wrestling lingo. I don't care what it is. Either way, somehow Randy Orton was more beat up than Mark Hunt was. Like, Brock Lesnar is such a mean son of a bitch that it doesn't matter to him. It's all real to this guy. Whether he's fighting in an octagon or whether he's in a WWE ring, it doesn't matter. The dude's a badass psychopath, all right? But I think everything's going to be fine now because the WWE sent a really stern message to him, and they fined him $500. Like, Brock Lesnar doesn't care about getting suspended for 2 years of MMA, $500. At that point, like, really? Why bother? Why bother, Shane? Why bother? So then evidently after the fact, after he carves Randy Orton's skull open, Chris Jericho had a problem with it backstage. And this is where it gets real interesting. Reports are from backstage, and there are confirmed people, everyone, it's true, that Jericho stormed Lesnar after SummerSlam, said, what the hell are you doing? You went way too far. Brock Lesnar kissed him on the forehead and told him, do you have the balls to kiss me back? That's some, like, scary-ass prison yard stuff going on, man. Like, Brock Lesnar didn't kiss me on my forehead, thank God, because I would have pissed myself. I nearly did when he growled at me. So, you know, and evidently, Jericho wanted to fight Lesnar. Lesnar put his hands behind his back and told him, either you kiss me or hit me, bitch. And Jericho did neither. And evidently, Vince McMahon had to intervene before Lesnar started killing everybody backstage. So the next time somebody tells you wrestling is fake, tell that to Randy Orton's skull. Tell that to Brock Lesnar's face. Because you know what he's going to tell you? Kiss me or hit me, bitch. Game time decisions continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. Show replays at 5:30. Now live weekdays at 2 o'clock Eastern time. As I stated off the top of the program, Nate Hodges is going to join us from Knoxville, Tennessee. Covers the Volunteers, Fox Sports Radio. Nate Hodges, a lot of hype and high expectations around this Tennessee Volunteer football team. We're going to talk about a team, actually, in a minute that the Vols open up with. And, you know, this could be a landmine awaiting Vols Nation in week one. Matt Modica is going to join us. We're going to talk some baseball. He's a fantasy pitching expert, CTM baseball. Very, very wise and sharp man. Matt Modica will join us. All right, but let's kick things off right now and talk some Sunbelt football. And we'll also talk a little about this Volunteer App State game. Me and Mark Lawrence from Playbook.com, the premier, best newsletter out there. You guys want to win NFL or college, get the newsletter on a weekly basis. It's all you'll need. And even for you fantasy players, a lot of great numbers and information in the newsletter that'll help you with your selections as well. But we've been breaking down each and every single college football conference. We've done them all. The independents slipped through the cracks. But we're on to the last conference right now with the belt, the Sun Belt. Mark Lawrence, Playbook.com, joins me. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gabe, and I'll say this. It's better to be down here in South Florida in the Sun Belt than up north in the Snow Belt.
Yeah, you know what? The snow The snow's still a couple of months away, Mark. We're still a couple of months away. And in fact, it's hot as hell right now. We might as well be in the belt. But you know what? The Sun Belt. The Sun Belt has always sort of been at the bottom of the power rankings when it comes to conferences. You and I have talked about the Belt and the MAC. But pretty impressive numbers, actually, looking at your database. Since 2006, Sun Belt, a very respectable 14-12 straight up, 13-12-1 against the spread in bowl games.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, especially from a conference that ranks in the lower rung of all FBS schools. And, you know, I think there's a simple reason for that, Gabe, is the fact that the Sun Belt teams make it to a bowl game. They're elated. They're just thrilled to be there. And the guys they're playing are probably most likely guys that had bigger visions for better bowl games, and they slip down to the level of having to play them. So we take advantage of these Sun Belt teams when they do make a bowl game.
Well, when we look at the Sun Belt, there are some bottom feeders. I mean, New Mexico State are so bad they've been asked to leave, basically. Idaho, very rare in an era, Mark, in which every school is climbing the ladder. Now we got 128 line teams that Idaho actually want out. They want to go back to FCS, which is, as you wrote, is probably the smart thing for the Vandals to want to do at this point in time. You know, the Sun Belt's had some good teams over the years, but they've lost them all the time. You know, this stupid, you know, conference expansion, it's hurt them. But when we look at the top tier of the Belt, there are a couple of teams that can play with anybody on any given Saturday, Mark.
I think there are, Gabe. In fact, it would surprise me if there's one team in this conference, and we'll get to them, that I think will end up battling for one of those New Year's Day 6 bowl bids. This team is that good, that powerful, and there's a couple of other teams that are certain to be bowl teams. So they're the kind of guys that when you schedule these guys in non-conference games, the opponents almost always look past them, and they're the guys that end up cashing the ticket.
All right, well, let's start off with the top here. There's three teams. Seems to be a three-horse race. As far as the odds makers are concerned to win the Sun Belt. No championship game this year. They're going to institute a championship game in 2018. But let's talk about Appalachian State, who, of course, made a name for themselves years ago, beating my Michigan Wolverines in the first game of the year. And they get an opportunity, Mark, this year. They're going to Knoxville. They're taking on the Tennessee Volunteers. You want to talk about an opportunity to put yourself on the map? Well, there's an app for that, and it's the Mountaineers. And they're going in there, a loaded football team. What I like about this is they got nine guys back on D, an active, very fast defense. You know, six guys back on offense. But out of those six guys, you got a quarterback who had 34 touchdowns last year in Tyler Lamb, and you got a premier running back as well. Talk to me about this Mountaineer team.
Well, they're a team that's had only one losing season since 1993. That just speaks to their credibility and how good this football program has been. As you mentioned, they pulled the rug out on Michigan, and Tennessee has got to be focused when they play Appalachian State and host them on September 1st. Tennessee's got a bigger game with Virginia Tech on deck the week after that, and there's looking up and down the schedule here, there's no back-to-back road games for the Mountaineers this football season here. I think these first three games for App State this year, they're going to play Tennessee, they're going to play Miami of Florida inside those first three games. That will only toughen them up, and they'll be in the running this year for the Sun Belt Conference Championship.
That's a dangerous spot for the Hurricanes as well, going on the road, Mark.
Unquestionably, that's going to be the biggest game ever at Appalachian State when Miami of Florida invades there. And you can rest assured that Mark Richt will be aware of that. He'll start working his players over 2 weeks before that, just to ensure that there's not going to be a letdown by the Canes going into that football contest. And you also take a look at what they got Georgia Tech does, the Canes, in their season conference opener the week after that. So that could be a real tricky spot for Miami of Florida.
Let's talk about a team that's been in my portfolio often over the years. A team, I bet a lot of Sun Belt football, Mark, like I know you do as well. And Arkansas State have been very, very good to the pocketbook over the years, haven't they? Great, great team, great program that's produced high-profile coaches, and they've been able to sustain the success despite losing, you know, a Hugh Freeze, such as losing a Gus Malzahn. They lose these high-profile coaches, but they keep on going. But they kept their coach. Blake Anderson's back. They swept the Belt last year. What's your take on this team? Is this the team you're that high on as a sleeper?
No, it really truly isn't, but they're going to be right there. I think they're one of these three teams that could possibly win the conference. I think they'll have the bullseye on their back this year after winning it last year. You're taking a look at this football team. That's been 6 years in a row they beat the spread at the end of the football season. They just rung the register. They're a very, very good team. You look at their final five games. They got four games on the road. It's going to be a little bit tricky, I think, going out for Arkansas State this football season here. They got a JUCO quarterback in Justin Hansen, a former quarterback at Oklahoma. He transfers in to take over for Freddie Knighton here. So this football program, I think, is a team to watch. You got to certainly keep an eye on them. They've only got four teams on their schedule that had winning records last year. That bodes well for them. I've got Arkansas State finishing number three in the Sun Belt Conference this year.
Yeah, when I look at their, you're right, though. Losing Freddie Knighton is going to be tough for them. And their tough games are at home, their conference games. They avoid playing App State, but it's still a tough task, especially in the final month of the season. So, I don't know, Mark. It leads me to believe then you think Georgia Southern might be the hot shot sleeper this year. And it's funny because in my notes here, first thing I have, this team can run on anybody. Like, they can. They can run the ball on anybody. They've spent the entire offseason working on their passing game, Mark, and I'm hearing pretty good things about it, actually.
Yeah, it's a nice balance for a football team that can run the ball down your throat. They're like little Georgia Tech, if you will. But if you balance that out with a little bit of a passing game, new head coach Tyson Summers is working just on that. They had four players on the roster last year, Gabe, that rushed for over 600 yards apiece. That was the best in the nation last year. And they also allowed the third fewest plays per game on defense last year. A lot of that's attributable to the fact that the offense is on the field a lot, chewing up time, chewing up ground yardage. But the fact of the matter is their defense is well rested. This is the team, I think, that is going to be the team to beat and could possibly be in contention to play for that New Year's Day 6 bowl bid. You look up and down their schedule here, their biggest game will be at Mississippi. There's no question about that. But if they can run the table in the Sun Belt Conference, go into Mississippi, battle that football program tough there, I think this team could finish the season 11-1 and be in the talk.
And you talk about the new staff that they have in place, Mark, and I read in your preview, a combined four national championships, 19 conference championships, and 51 bowl wins combined with the coaching staff.
That's pretty impressive, to say the least.
For a Georgia Southern, really, to have, you know, guys with rings and, you know, 51 bowl wins, 19 conference championship rings, that's a pretty good pedigree for Georgia Southern.
There's no question about that. This is a football program here that I think, like I say, nobody's going to want to play. You're going to be beat up, banged up, bruised up, physically beaten by this football program here. They just steamrolled by teams last year. And, you know, I think what really woke them up is that upset loss they suffered to Georgia State. We'll talk about them next. They were 20-point home favorites and got the rug pulled out on them. I think that'll have this football team completely refocused this football season.
Yeah, Georgia State are a football team that were real bottom feeders, Mark, like one of the worst in the nation a couple of years ago. And you can't sleep on these guys either.
No, you can't. It's a football program here that just stunned the world last year, like I say, with that victory last year. And they did it. They earned it. You take a look at their stats. Trent Miles is the fourth year now with the Panthers. He improved that defense over 90 yards a game last football season here. And take a look at the offense. They've gone up. They've improved every year. Trent Miles has been the head coach. You got an improving offense, a defense that's really, really hitting. It's no wonder that they went from 1-6 and made a bowl bid last year. My only reservation is the fact that this is one of these, what I call a Bill James plexiglass principle type team. And what that is a team that's been a bad football team that all of a sudden tastes victory. What do they do? Can they handle it? What do they do the next year? They usually regress. So I'll keep a close eye on this football program, but they were the real deal last year.
Mark, I've been following you long enough to know that you like successful programs coming off a down year in which they were humbled a little bit and which maybe they played a lot of underclassmen as well. And let's look at Mark Hudspeth's football team and the Raging Cajuns here. I've always been amazed. I know that he signed a contract to stay, but to me, even an SEC team, you know, like you look at what Butch Jones has done, Butch Jones has done with Tennessee. Mark Hudspeth's resume is very impressive. Like, I'm amazed that more big-time schools don't just offer him big money and make it impossible for him to turn it down. Mark, four straight bowl wins, winning seasons, great recruiting. And you look at this team, they're going to be in a bad mood this year. They got 13 starters back. They got a running back in Elijah McGuire, only FBS back with 3,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. This looks like an angry football team. You know, I don't expect Hudspeth to have a bad team 2 years in a row.
I don't either. In fact, you know, like you, I was a little bit surprised he's been there this long because he's got Power 5 Conference written all over him. The Cajuns took care of that at the end of 2014 when they inked him to a real lucrative contract. He got made money that no other coach in the Sun Belt has seen, and that's the reason he still stayed there. But as you say, chip on their shoulder this year, the epitome of a mission football team this football season here. They will be very, very angry and a very good football team. Seven starters back on offense. I got them finishing anywhere 2, 3, or 4 inside the Sun Belt this year.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from like a Matt Campbell who left Toledo to go to Iowa State, Mark, but you look at Hudspeth, like he's good enough to be coaching at a power conference school.
There's no question about that. In fact, it's kind of head-scratching a little bit in the sense that you wonder why it hasn't happened. But, you know, the reason after four straight nine-win seasons in a row, you thought it would have been a certainty. But, like I say, money talks. He didn't walk. He stayed there at Lafayette, and that's the reason he's still the head coach.
All right, let's before we wrap up the belt, we can't get to every team, and I want to pick your brain as far as this Cal-Hawaii game a bit. The Troy Trojans years ago used to sort of be the class, one of the class teams of this conference. They fell on hard times, but they're trending upwards once again as well, and I see they got 16 starters back. Brandon Silvers has to be more consistent at the quarterback position, but there's some talent here, and Troy can play with anybody in this conference.
There's no question. I think this is a team you have to watch this year, Gabe. They trended up from 3 wins to 4 under Neil Brown in his first season last year, but more importantly, it was the defense. 60 yards improvement. That's terrific for a football team that was floundering like they were. And the key to me, you go down and you look at the last 7 games of their season, they out-yarded 5 of those 7 opponents. They were winning it where it counts, in the trenches. That just indicates improvement to me, this football program here. They got 16 starters back. I think Troy will barge their way into a bowl game this season.
I'm getting word from the booth. We only have 1 minute. Let's stretch it to 2. We'll be quick. Cal Hawaii, first game up off the board. I haven't seen your preview yet in a newsletter, Mark, but knowing you the way that I do, I'm guesstimating that the plus 20 is attractive. I think like the way you do, actually. I really, out of all the cappers we have on, I really think that I fall into your line of thinking the most often, actually. I'm looking at this. I'll tell you what, I don't want to lay 20 points with Cal here.
I don't either. Not with Jared Goff playing with the Rams on Sundays now. He was the reason that the team met with success. They had been a losing team every year under Sonny Dykes until last year. And you take a look, what do they got next? They got San Diego State, a big, big football, much bigger football game next. They're playing this game in Australia. I mean, they're down there in New Zealand, Australia with the Kangaroos, I mean, the Koala Bears. I don't think they're going to be as focused for this football game as they need to be. Nick Rolovich, a former quarterback at Hawaii, he's a first-year head coach here. I think I'll have his football program psyched up for this football game big time. I think the 20 points is the right side of this contest.
Yeah, 9 returning starters, Woolsley at quarterback. That back door is going to be swinging wide open, Mark, like on a windy day. You know what I'm saying? That back door, even if we're down, you know, we're down 23 late. Hey, touchdown Hawaii. Covered a point spread.
Hey, you're talking about a Cal defense that's not known, never going to make a defensive Hall of Fame enshrinement, that's for sure. Real, real loose defense there. I think you put everything together, you look for as many edges as you can get. I think they all point to Hawaii in this game.
Yeah, I'm going Hawaii, and I'm going to sprinkle on the over as well, because if Hawaii doesn't cover, it means Cal hangs 50 on them. All right, we got to get out of here, but Mark Lawrence is free play over, covers experts, Orioles and Nats. I didn't realize just how good Tanner Roark was at home. Great numbers.
Yeah, it's a terrific situation there for Tanner Roark. He's done a terrific job He's been 6-1, if you will, his last 7 starts. He's got a great 2.9444 earned run average at home this football season here. He's cashed 14 out of 19 times he's been favored. I think he makes it 15 out of 20 here today.
Mark Lawrence. Check it out, playbook.com, and also go to playbook.com games at playbook.com, and you can get involved. There's a new fantasy app that's ready to launch. It's going to be a lot of fun for you players to play, and it's big time stuff as well. Like this is going to change fantasy apps as we know it. Mark, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time.
Hey, Mickey, my pleasure. I look forward to visiting with you next week. Be good.
Here's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, we take a quick break. We're going to continue our college football conversation. Nate Hodges joins us from Knoxville, Tennessee. Next, we talk Volunteer football. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, I really enjoyed talking Sun Belt football with Mark Lawrence, and there's a good synergy because we talked about App State and how dangerous this Mountaineer football team is this year. They actually open up with the Tennessee Volunteers. You know what? There's so much hype around this Tennessee Volunteer football team. They deserve their own segment, and we're going to do that right now. We're sending it to Knoxville, Tennessee, Fox Sports Radio, former, brethren of mine. I'm a former Fox Sports Las Vegas radio guy. The host of 3 and Out. It sounds like the New York Giants offense so far in the preseason this year. But let's talk some Tennessee Volunteer football with Nate Hodges. Nate, welcome to the Fantasy Sports Network. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Gabe. Excited to do it, man. Should be fun.
Well, I'm sure you are excited, man. There's a ton of hype around this Volunteer football team this year. I'm an old school Volunteer guy, too. I'm a Michigan fan, but I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Tennessee Volunteers, you know, going back to the Andy Kelly days. And I actually went to that game. It was Andy Kelly against the national champion Colorado Buffaloes, the Kickoff Classic in Anaheim, California, a hell of a long time ago. So I've been following Volunteer football up closely for a long time. There's a lot of hype, a lot of high expectations. I've seen predictions of people expecting them to play in the SEC Conference Championship game. What are you telling your callers? Are you telling people, hey, we're going to win the national championship? Or are you telling people, chill out, it's a growing process?
Well, it's funny, you know, Tennessee fans were spoiled in the 90s and, of course, capped off with that 1998 national championship. But here recently, they've got an 11-game losing streak to the Florida Gators, and that game has always been pivotal in who goes to Atlanta representing the SEC East. And so you've got kind of a fan base that wants to be excited about the opportunities this season, but they still, there's kind of this underlying worry that what can go wrong will, especially in that game with Florida. But I've tried to tell the callers to enjoy the ride, enjoy the hype. There's no point in worrying all summer over what could happen during the season. You know, you've gone through the Derek Dooley Valley. You've gone through Lane Kiffin. You're back with Butch Jones, who's taking his time to, you know, try and rebuild the program from the ground up. And he's brought in, you know, top recruiting classes. He spoke yesterday about how good this incoming class has been, despite the fact that it's his lowest class out of the last three. There should be some contributors there. And, of course, the team returns almost every impact player off a team last year that came really close to getting over the hump. Just some late game collapses kept them, really one play against Florida kept them out of Atlanta a year ago. So in terms of the hype, I'm buying the Vols this year being in Atlanta, and it not only has to do so much with who they have coming back and the strength and the talent on this football team, but also when you look around the SEC East, it's really, really down. Florida is not going to be that good. They've got some quarterback issues, and of course Georgia has gone through the coaching change, quarterback issues as well. So I can see some people saying that Tennessee's overrated, ranked at 9 in one poll, 10 in the other. But when you look at the SEC East, like, they don't even have to be that good to get to Atlanta. And, of course, winning the SEC championship's a whole other question.
I see a lot of similarities between the Volunteers and the Michigan Wolverine program. Because as you stated, you know, Tennessee were sort of the staple. People forget that. People forget that they were the staple of the SEC, now ranked in the top 10. And as a Michigan fan, I almost tell people, chill out a bit. We're not as good as the hype is making us out to be. But Tennessee have the talent. As you reinstated. Now, we could argue, you could say, well, it was one play against Florida, but we could also say Florida converted on fourth down like five times in that football game. I lost a lot of money, Nate, on that game against Oklahoma. I bought in last year, bro. You know what I mean? I was like, Tennessee, you turn the corner. This is the coming out party. That was the coming out party. But, you know, they did everything right, but they just couldn't close the damn game, man. But what about the schedule this year? This first game of the year, they're going to win this game. But I hope the kids aren't looking ahead to SEC play or aren't looking ahead to the Hokies in week two, because App State can play this year, Nate.
Yeah, App State's going to be a quality opponent. A lot of people have put Tennessee on upset alert week one. I actually asked Steve Stripling, the defensive line coach at Tennessee, is there any, are you worried about your kids kind of overlooking that first game? And he reminded us in the media that he and Mike DeBoer are Michigan guys. They were on the Michigan staff in 2007 when Appalachian State beat the Wolverines in the Big House. Well, you know, some call that the greatest upset of all time. So he said they'll have no problem getting ready for Appalachian State. And the fact that the game got moved up to the Thursday night kickoff, I think helps Tennessee's kids kind of make it something special, make it, you know, a kind of a prime time, all eyes on you. It's not one of those noon kickoffs, 98 degrees, like it definitely could be if it had stayed on Saturday. So I think prime time will help. And really, I mean, I think this Tennessee team is, App State hasn't really done that since. And all their Power 5 games recently against good teams, they've gone down. I think they can put up a fight, but I think Tennessee, especially with the veteran leadership they have on the team, I think they'll get by the Mountaineers and start the season off with a win. But they definitely know, the coaching staff at Tennessee, that App State is a dangerous football team, and they've got some good returning players as well.
Great point that you raise. I think they're better off playing in a night situation like that on a Thursday night. It's not a game, and it's funny because I was talking to my producer, and he's younger than I am, but a hardcore football guy, and he goes, when I was a kid, it was sort of Tennessee owned Saturday afternoons on CBS. But I tell you, the last couple of years, Nate, they've been like the Jefferson Pilot game. You know what I mean? It's been like it's been that sort of buried SEC game. I don't know if it's the Peachtree TV, Jefferson Pilot, whatever the contract is now. But it's always been that buried game. But I like it. They could be interested. And the coaching staff can say, listen, these guys ruined Michigan's life. They can ruin our life. And then how cool is this, man? The game at the Motor Speedway, Bristol Motor Speedway. How cool is this? How excited is Vol Nation for that?
Oh, they're fired up. There was a picture yesterday of them putting in kind of the bottom of a goalpost, and somebody screenshot it from the end zone at Bristol, and the sight lines are horrendous. I mean, it's like there was a picture of Neyland Stadium inside Bristol Motor Speedway, and it fit. And as you know, being a Michigan guy, like some of these biggest stadiums in the country, I mean, Neyland Stadium holds over 100,000. It's a complete bowl. The whole thing fits inside the Speedway. So the views are going to be terrible, but the fan base, it has been asking for this game for years. It used to be like this dream. Kind of guys would just sit around at the bar and say, wonder if they'll ever play Virginia Tech. They could play that in Bristol. I mean, there used to be a post in the middle of the racetrack for the Jumbotron. They've taken that out. They've put this huge Jumbotron on cables that hangs over the field, kind of like the Cowboys deal. They call that Colossus. So it's not going to be a great place to watch a game, but you can bet with a Kenny Chesney concert Friday night, and the fact that it's in Bristol, pretty convenient for Tennessee fans, Virginia Tech fans as well. It's going to just be one giant party and definitely a big spectacle.
Now that Peyton ain't playing on Sundays, I think he'll probably be there too. Something tells me he'll show up for that, especially with the Chesney concert going on. That's going to be off the hook. We got to wrap it up, but there's no booze in SEC stadiums allowed, but this isn't an SEC stadium, because I think of Bristol, I think of the infield, I'm thinking of the whole atmosphere. It's got to be one big booze fest. I assume they will be selling beer at that event, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It's going to be 160,000 people to watch a football game. I mean, just think about that. It's going to be insane. And, Virginia Tech came out with, they're going to wear special uniforms. Tennessee came out and said, we're going to wear our traditional orange and white. So when people look at this game, you know, in 5 years and see the highlights, they'll go, oh, yeah, that was the game at Bristol, and they'll recognize the teams. I think Tennessee got that one right. I'm not sure about Virginia Tech. I think maybe if they'd have worn both gone home, that home uniforms, that would have been fine. But Virginia Tech's going to be in this weird slate gray stuff. So we'll see what the visuals are like. But it's definitely going to be something that hasn't been seen before.
Yeah, you know what, Nate? I have a hard time, and I consider myself a college football diehard. I swear, if you offer me $10,000 right now, I couldn't tell you every team in every conference because they always switch so much. And it's to the point now where it's like, surprise me with the uniform. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like teams come in, the uniform. I like, you know, like Michigan, we don't tweak it. You guys, you don't tweak it. No need to tweak something as classic as the Volunteers uniforms. Hey, Nate, great stuff, man. Definitely look forward to talking football with you again, man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks a lot, Gabe.
There's Nate Hodges with us talking some Volunteer football. Yeah, it's going to be real cool. We'll be all over that. We'll get you up the pictures and all that stuff of the construction of the Motor Bristol Speedway into a football game. We've seen a lot of this over the years, especially with college basketball, you know, playing in, you know, Army bases on naval ships, etc. And, you know, everyone's always looking for an interesting tweak. NCAA football opening up in Sydney. Yet, it doesn't get any cooler than this. Bristol Motor Speedway, Tennessee, Virginia Tech. Come on, man. All right, game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. There are other sports besides football, like baseball. Matt Modica joins me next. All right, thanks to Nate Hodges for joining us on the program. 160,000 people expected at Bristol Motor Speedway for that football game. You know, we've seen a winter classic. The hockey games have been very, very popular over the years. Yet, you know, this really is something unique. College football clashing together with NASCAR doesn't get much cooler than that. And I brought up the alcohol factor because, I didn't know this. I once went all the way to Mississippi, and I went to see a Mississippi State LSU game, and I was like on a bender, man. I drank for like 2 days, did a lot of other crazy things too. And the game was at like, you know, 12 noon. It was LSU Mississippi State. And so we were going all night. And if you're partying all night, you got to keep it rolling. So we get to the stadium, and the first thing I do when I get in is I'm looking for like a beer stand, right? I'm looking around. I see like lemonade, and like every 10 feet, there's a damn Dr. Pepper concession stand. I'm like, no. I go up to the Dr. Pepper girl. I'm like, hey, you got any beer? She's like, oh, look at your tickets, an alcohol-free stadium. Alcohol-free stadium. Not only was it an alcohol-free stadium, it was an alcohol-free county. So we did what anyone else would do after traveling 1,800 miles to go see a football game. We left. We split. We tried, you know, we didn't want to look like real loser alcoholics, but we lasted about a quarter and a half. And I remember I looked over at everyone. I said, who's with me, man? Like, I don't care. Like, I'm leaving. And we walked to the next county line, and we watched it at a college bar. Good times. Good times. You know what? Matt Modica joins us right now, and I'm going to a football. Let's bring Matt in right now. Going to a football game with Matt next month. We're going to see Notre Dame and Syracuse. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How's it going today?
All right. We just had a dude on. We're talking about there's a football game at the Bristol Motor Speedway, 160,000 people. He said it's going to be cool. It's going to be a spectacle and stuff, but the sight lines are going to suck. Yet, really, sight lines suck at all football games, don't they? Like, that's why attendance is down in the NFL. Matt, football really is better on TV. I hate to admit it, but it's true.
Oh, that's definitely true. Football is definitely the game to watch at home. But the tailgating aspect of going to the game is what enhances everything, and, you know.
It's a waste fest. Exactly. Like, let's be honest. If I go to a football game, I'm going for the party. I don't know what the penalty is half the time. Even if I got big money on the game, I don't know. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm in line getting a beer. You know what I mean? Like, you're there for the atmosphere and the entire party, so to speak. And Notre Dame Syracuse going to be a big party on October 1st. And the Fantasy Sports Network, we got a big tailgate party for that. You can join us. Go to the website for information about that. But baseball you know, baseball, I don't mind baseball on TV, but baseball actually is cooler in person, in my opinion. What do you think of that?
Yes, I definitely enjoy sitting at a baseball game. You know, it's more of a, you know, relaxed kind of atmosphere. I mean, hockey is definitely the best to watch live.
The thing is, though, you can, like, a girl that doesn't like sports, you're not watching a baseball game on TV with her. She's not lasting 3 hours through a baseball game. But if, you know, I noticed, like, the Blue Jays, it's like 60% women. And they're just, you know, walking around in their little shorts getting drunk. It's like a Cubs game. You know, it's amazing how baseball sort of has marketed towards women, and women enjoy going to baseball games.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just the whole, like, you can make an event out of it. You know, you can, there's not that, you have to be focused in the whole time.
You know what I like? I'm the opposite. My favorite is NBA. You know, there's not an event. I know I'm going to an NBA game. I'm out of there in 2 hours and 30 minutes. You know what I mean? It's boom, boom. Yeah. You know, they're playing, boom, 12 minutes, 12 minutes, halftime, 12 minutes. There ain't no rain delays. There's no pitching change. It's like bam, bam, bam. But nevertheless, let's talk some baseball right now. How about these Kansas City Royals, Matt? They're on absolute fire. Fernandez is on the hill tonight. He's 26-2 in his career at home. That's unbelievable. He's 26-2, but I don't got to tell you. Tell the viewers, Fernandez has been struggling his last three starts.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird since the second half of the season, which I look at as the start of July. I mean, at home, he's in 25 innings. He's given up 25 hits. I mean, he's still got a 2.88 ERA, but he's got a 124 WHIP, which both of those numbers for him at home is, you know, incredibly high. He's usually like a 2 ERA at home and, you know, maybe a 1 WHIP at the most. So, but, I mean, honestly, I have to, if I'm playing the game, I got to take Jose Fernandez today. Kansas City's won 9 in a row. They're throwing out Dylan G, and as a Met fan, I've seen enough of Dylan G. I know he's coming off a good start, but he's more of like a 5-inning pitcher who's going to yield 4 runs. And if Miami can get 4 runs for Jose Fernandez, I think that's a lock for him to take it down.
I'm not sure they can, Matt. I think that you look at that Marlin offense, and it's pretty depleted. I think Fernandez might give him 7 innings of great baseball tonight, but Royals are too hot for me, dude. I got to ride the streak. You know, winning 9 in a row. They're 14-2 in their last 16. And they win. Doesn't matter who's on the hill. But good point, Dylan. That's why, you know, the Marlins are paying -210. Royals are +175. I got to tell you, before the year started, if you would have told me that Jay Happ and Rick Porcello were the best pitchers in the American League, I would have said, I'll take your action on that. What the hell is going on with Porcello?
True.
It's unbelievable.
Well, the thing with Porcello is, I mean, last season he was horrible. But last September, he had a good month, and he showed signs. And he had a very good, very encouraging April this year. And you look at his numbers now, I mean, the wins are always discounted in baseball now. Everybody's like, ban the win. I don't believe in that. But, I mean, everything else, he doesn't walk anybody. His walks per nine since the start of July is below 1. And he's playing on a really good team, which is something that can get you wins. He pitches, you know, 7 innings. And, I mean, he's a guy that right now, he's their best, you know, he's their best guy.
Yeah, that's the thing as well with Porcello. And you talk about the wins. Wins don't matter, but, you know, ultimately they do. A stat I love as a betting guy on baseball is not so much the pitcher's record, Matt, but what's the record of the team when the pitcher starts? You know what I mean? Do they win?
Yes.
And there is something to that. Do they win when this guy pitches? Does he give them a chance to win the baseball game? And the thing with Porcello, he's been a godsend for Farrell, is the last 5 outings, he's gone 7 or more. The guy's a workhorse. He's eating up innings. You know, they better be careful about that, you know, come the playoffs. All right, so I like the Sox tonight, laying the 55 cents. But I want to talk about the Giants and the Dodgers. The Giants are now 11-24 since the All-Star break. They're in a complete free fall. Rich Hill on the hill tonight against Cueto. And we got Rich Hill is making his Dodger debut. He hasn't pitched in over a month, but he was pitching well with Oakland this year, 9-3, solid ERA, very, very impressive. He hasn't pitched in a while. What do you expect from Rich Hill tonight?
Honestly, for Rich Hill tonight, I mean, it's great that he's finally back. I've become a Rich Hill supporter, and then he hasn't pitched, like you said, in over a month or so. It seems like forever. But since last September, since he got on the mound, he's been lights out. He's, you know, he goes six innings, but he can get you 10 strikeouts. That said, he's rusty. He hasn't pitched. Johnny Cueto, on the road, he's got a better strikeout percentage. I think the Giants are in desperate need of this game. I think Cueto's a big game pitcher. He showed it last year in the playoffs versus Toronto versus the Mets. And in a game that they need to have, I'm going to go Cueto.
You know what? I can't believe that the Dodgers caught them. I can't believe the Giants are falling apart like this, but it's amazing. You got Rich Hill, who's minus 140, and he hasn't pitched in over a month against Johnny Cueto. You would have told me that a month ago. I'd be like, you're crazy. The Dodgers aren't going to be 40 cent. I don't, you know what, Bip Roberts? You got to give this guy manager of the year if they win this division. They've had more injuries, man, than like other teams combined, Matt. I don't know how the Dodgers have done this.
Yeah, they just set a stat on MLB Network. Like the, it was like bizarre how many they've had. I mean, Corey Seager has been amazing. Justin Turner. I mean, they're getting the production. I mean,
all right, Matt.
The production there.
We got to get out of here. Thanks for the time, Matt.
You got to take care.
All right, there's Matt Modica with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our Major League Baseball bets of the day. All right, this is one of the final times that we're only going to be giving you baseball picks, actually, if you think about it. Thursday night, we've got preseason football. Friday night, we've got preseason football. Friday night, we've got college football. Next week, preseason football. Next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, college football. That's right. They always have that Monday night college game before the NFL starts. So, in other words, it's a great time and a freaking year, but pretty crazy. We've been doing pretty good with baseball this week, actually. We've been riding the wave, man. We're going to ride the wave some more. Tonight, we're jumping on the Nationals bandwagon. Baltimore beat them up in Baltimore, but Baltimore are a terrible road team. Dusty Baker's getting a little angry right now. Tanner Roark has been absolutely awesome at home, man. All they do is win. He's like 14-5 his last 19 starts at home. All right, speaking of winning, everybody wins when they play the Angels. The Angels are freaking terrible, man. Like, these guys, like, they're real bad. We got Estrada on the bump tonight for the Jays. I'll lay the 70 cents. Boston Red Sox, Rick Porcello, holy crap, man. I was wrong. I was wrong about Porcello, and I was wrong about Jay Happ. Both pitchers that I thought were sort of mediocre journeymen that have absolute studs this year. Red Sox are, like, killing it right now. They're 9-2 in their last 11 games. Give me the Red Sox tonight. Speaking of killing it, Kansas City Royals, plus 175. Yeah, I know Fernandez is on the hill. I know it's Dylan G on the hill for the Royals, but I don't care, man. The Marlins are injured. They're beaten down. Their offense sucks. And I'll tell you what, the Royals are 14-2 in their last 16 games and will make the playoffs. And our final pick of the evening, the D-backs and the Braves are both terrible. They're putting up a ton of runs, but give me Zach Greinke and the D-backs.